Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast. Oh, let's continue to give him high praise this morning for a moment longer. He's been so good to me, I cannot tell it all. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah! I wonder if anybody's got a hallelujah in their heart today. Praise God. Young people, you continue to inspire me. I thank you for your commitment, for your love for Jesus, your unashamed attitude about worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We salute our young people this morning. We give honor to them. Amen. I'm thankful for the report Sister April gave about the future looking bright with our young people and their work and dedication that they put in. Amen. I love hearing reports like that. Amen. I'll be turning your attention to Judges chapter number 14. We certainly miss the Melsons this morning, but we congratulate them on their new baby boy, Marshall. Amen. And we'll celebrate more whenever they're able to be in church, but I want to say publicly that we congratulate them. Everything went fine, and for that we are thankful and rejoicing. We miss most of the Helton clan. I see Sister Kirsten here, so she's the only one we don't miss because she's here. We miss the rest of them. I didn't want y'all to think I was saying, well, we don't miss Brother Helton. You know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm hoping he hears that one of these. But anyway, they're coming back, I think, from vacation, and but we miss them today. And let's be in prayer for my mother-in-law, Granny. You know, at any age, it doesn't take much to tweak your back to do something to mess it up. And the older you get, when you're 85, it becomes even more susceptible for you doing something to your back. And this has been a problem that she's had. She's recovered from it. But about a week or so ago, she did something else to her back. And she is in a great deal of pain today. My wife went over to see her before church. And Granny was in tears. And breaks my heart to hear that. But I'm asking our church to pray for Granny. The Lord would touch her body. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Judges chapter number 14, we're going to read a few verses of scripture, starting in verse number 5. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. Now, not a child kid, talking about a baby goat. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Now this was about a year later after he had killed the lion. He came back about a year later, and this is what happened. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. I want to focus on the fact that the Word of God lets us know that when he came back, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion, and he took thereof in his hands, and he ate the honey. I want to talk to you for a few minutes on the subject. Take time for the honey. Take time for the honey. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. I'll never forget looking back at 2020. There's a lot of things about I won't forget. A lot of things I wish we could forget about 2020. But I won't get political on you this morning. I'll just move right along, force myself in doing so. But my wife and I were running some errands after having come back from a short getaway in Branson. Matter of fact, my mom and dad went with us. But we had just gotten back maybe a day or so earlier and catching up on things and running some errands. But as we were riding around, instantly out of nowhere, because this was nothing like this was on my mind, I felt the Lord direct me. I felt Jesus speak to my heart about something particular and specific to do. And not only told me what to do, but told me the area, the location of our town to go to do this. And so we got home as quickly as possible. We stopped by a store to grab not a poster board, but a phone board for my wife to write something on that phone board. It was crazy thinking about it in the natural, but I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt it was something that God spoke to me to do. And so I went where, this was before they built the new Pizza Hut. The old Pizza Hut was still actually in business before it went out of business, tore down. But I was right across the highway from Pizza Hut and the little island of grass, dead middle of summer. It was scorching out there. And I held up a sign. And as people passed by, they saw the sign that I held up. And I was so excited. I'll be honest, the first hour of being out there, I could hardly control the tears. And for 3 hours, I stood out there in the blazing heat of summer, giving thumbs up, trying to relay a message to people. As my sign indicated, there is hope. That's all the sign said. There is hope. It was returned to me of passerbys, with people with big smiles on their faces, giving me a return thumbs up. It didn't matter what color their skin, what background they, from the redneck country boy to those that are driving by listening to the rap music, I got the same response from almost everybody, a thumbs up and a big smile on their face. I don't know who it was that God sent me out there for, and possibly it was for more than one person. But I was portraying, or God was speaking through me in that simple sign to those hundreds of people that drove past me in those 3 hours, that in a time of uncertainty, I wanted them to know, or God wanted them to know, there is hope. And I know I was out there in the will of God for the first 2 hours. The third hour, I thought I was going to pass out. Thankfully, manager from Pizza Hut across the highway saw me. They were all moved by what was taking place. They sent me a couple of cold bottles of water, which if that had not happened, I would have never been able to stay for 3 hours. It was absolutely scorching out there. But it was a sign of hope for people to let them know that they could make it. I don't know if it was for somebody that was suicidal, and it very well could have been. I don't know if it was a person that felt like they were on their last breath of hope, that they didn't know if they could go another step forward. But on that day, God was reminding somebody or giving somebody the courage to know that there is hope in this world that we live in. And I have come to announce to this congregation yet again on this Sunday morning in the month of May, there is hope. Regardless of what your mountain may be, no matter what your difficulty in life may be that is looking you square in the face, I've come to announce to you today that there is hope. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in Jesus. I'm reminded of the story that we read in the book of Acts, chapter number 27. Paul is a prisoner and is on a journey on a boat with many other prisoners. The Bible lets us know that there was a great storm that blew in. And in all of them thought for themselves that they would not make it through the storm. As a matter of fact, Paul even makes the statement that all hope was lost that we would be saved. They did not think for an instance that they were going to make it through the storm. But all of a sudden, Paul finds himself separated from the crowd, and he spends some time alone with the Lord. And he comes back and announces to them, "Be of good cheer. I've got news for you. We're going to survive the storm. As long as you stay in the boat, God's hand of protection is going to be upon us. An angel of the Lord has come to talk to me, and I know the God that I serve is going to do even as he said he was going to do." I've come to tell somebody that's looking at their difficulties that all you can see right now is your problems. Amen. The difficulties in life. I've come to tell you, take a step away from that is in your face, and God will let you see the canvas of the real story. And if you'll open up your eyes, you'll see there's a God bigger than your mountain, and there's a God bigger than your problem. You'll walk out of this day, out of this service today, knowing that there's hope because God is on the throne, and there's not one thing too hard for him. He knows exactly where I am. He knows exactly where you are. You can make it. You can make it. Doesn't matter what it is. You can make it. In Psalm chapter 38 and verse number 15, the psalmist says, "For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God." Psalm 39 and verse number 7. "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." The writer of Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28 penned these words. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Chapter 4 and verse number 18 of the same book, the writer declares, "Who against hope," talking about Abram, "believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." Abraham had hope in the word that was given to him. He said against hope, he believed in hope. Looking at his natural body, there was no way possible that he and his wife should be able to produce a child. But in the midst of looking at all the things that said it can't, Abraham stood on the word of God and said, "I know God declared this. I know God said this, and if God said it, I believe it's going to happen." I've come to preach some hope into somebody's heart today. God's going to bring you through the storm. God's going to bring you through the difficulty. Cast your eyes upon the Lord. There's not anything too hard for him. Here's a word the word of God gives in Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 20. "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Amen. Let me read you Lamentations chapter number 3. I think it's from the ESV version. Amen. The Bible says, "So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it as it bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him." He makes a transition in his attitude and in his thought process from the first few verses until the end, because he says, you know what? I just don't know. My endurance has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. And it talks about his affliction, his wanderings, and he said, my soul continually is bowed down within me. But in one of these verses, everything changes because he says, but this I called to mind, and therefore I have hope. He said, this is what I started remembering, and this is what gave me hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I've come to tell somebody today, amen, that if you're going through a particular problem or situation, God's ability to be with you is not just for a season or a moment in time. God says, I will continually walk with you. I'm going to be with you every trial, every situation, every time you feel abandoned. I want you to know today, God has not left you. There's hope today. There's hope today in this world and in this house that we're in. Praise God. And so I would ask of you this morning, I would ask of you this morning to lay your burdens aside. Take a few steps back from your problems and from the mountain. Don't get so encumbered by your difficulties that you become susceptible to what they can dish out. Take a few steps back today. Take time for the honey and realize life ain't as bad as maybe what your adversary is telling you right now. Life is not always going to be full of mountains. There's coming a day. The Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but I've got news for some weeping heart today. Joy cometh in the morning. I know we're approaching the afternoon hour, but I'm going to tell you, your morning could come this afternoon. Your morning can come right now. And when the morning comes, joy is going to come also. Take a step back and take time for the honey. And don't let every problem and situation destroy your faith and your confidence in God. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. My daughter, and I, you know, you're told never to use your family as an example. I've said my daughter, all three of them, and now are saying, who are you talking about? Yesterday, my daughter, Brooke, showed a memory of a video of one of her kids a few years ago who goes unnamed. Let's just say Huxley wasn't born then. And kids go through stages. And I remember during that stage of life that a particular grandchild was going through, Brooke came to us on a couple of occasions with tears. Is it always going to be like this? Is he always going to act this way? Will we always have difficulties? And our counsel to her was, baby, just remain consistent. Keep correcting as you need to, but just be consistent. Don't threaten you're going to do something. I done got off on parenting now. Don't threaten you're going to do something and just say, if you do this one more time, and then the kid does it one more time, and that becomes dull to their hearing, and they don't believe you. If you say you're going to do something, do it. And so our word of encouragement was to her, it's going to get better. Be consistent. It's going to turn around. And from that video, things have turned around for the most part. There's times kids have relapses, but it's a world of different compared to what it used to be. In those moments in life, she could only see, my kid's going to grow up and be horrible. That's what circumstances were telling her. Her mom and I were trying to convince her, baby, it's not always going to be this way. Sometimes, young mom and dad, sometimes, good elder saint of God, when things are different now than what it was in other stages in your life, You've got to take time for the honey and the refreshing of God's presence, and also just stepping back and realizing this may be the moment that I'm in right now, but this is not what the entirety of life is going to be like. I'm going to give a word of refreshing to some weary heart today. You're going to make it. You're going to come through. You're going to overcome. Come on, church, help me here this morning. You are going to make it. So I'd encourage you today, take time for the honey. Young married couple, when you're facing difficulties and bills feel like they're piling up more than what you can pay, be a wise steward. Be diligent, be consistent, be a good worker, but it ain't always going to be this way. It ain't always going to be this way. Take time for the honey. Step away from your problems this morning and receive the hope that Jesus is giving you this morning. But I want to end by talking about another hope. Titus called it that blessed hope. It's the hope that the glorious appearing, as he continued to say, it is the hope of the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, starting in verse number 12, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then verse number 18 says, "Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." But then notice what verse number 19 says. "In this life only, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Let me paraphrase what is spoken here by Paul. He said, you know, some say that there's not going to be a resurrection. He said, if there's going to be no resurrection of the body of believers, he said, then Christ is not risen. But if he rose, we know we're going to rise also. That's paraphrasing what Paul was saying. But then he ends in verse number 19. He said, I got news for you. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I'm going to tell you something. This world is not the home of the church. We are simply strangers passing through. My hope is not in this world. I'm going to say it again. My hope is not in this world. Again, we are strangers in a strange land. If the completion of our hope is in this world, of what the world can offer, of what the world can give us, he said we are of all men most miserable, because nothing in this world will ever be able to satisfy you as like the almighty presence of Jesus Christ. And folks, I've come to tell you, I'm glad that this world of troubles and trials and wars and rumors of wars and financial difficulties and aches and pains and all that this world has to offer, this is not the final place of his bride. But there is coming a day, there is coming a day that the clouds are going to split and the trumpet is going to sound, and God is going to bring his family home to live eternally with him. Take time for the honey and realize I'm not here to stay. I'm simply passing through. Can we give Jesus a hand clap of praise? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was said about Abraham and his descendants that they were strangers in a strange land. They lived as nomads, wandering, amen, not really having a place. Well, folks, I've come to tell you that is the same with the church. And God's called out people. We're just here momentarily. The end of this life is not forever. When you die, there's going to be an eternal place that you're going to spend. And I could preach about the hotness of hell and the tragedies of hell to try to get you to an altar. But what I choose to this morning is talk to you about the sweetness of heaven. That if you're not ready, you'll make up in your mind, that's where I want to go. I want to spend eternity in the presence of an almighty God, where there's no more crying and no more weeping and no more pain and no more death and no more darkness. We will be in the presence of the almighty God forever. I want to preach to you about a God that loves you and about a heaven that waits on his church. And if you're not ready this morning, I offer you good news. You can get ready. You can get ready. If you need to repent of your sins, it doesn't take an hour to do so. An honest heart before God and says, Lord, I'm wrong. I've done things that have not pleased you. I'm asking you to forgive me. It's an about face. It's turning your back on sin and walking towards the Lord, taking your sins to a watery grave where they can be buried only in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. So I would submit to you today, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, we've got water here, we've got robes here, we've got towels here. This is laid up here in faith that somebody very soon is going to take on his name in water baptism in Jesus' name. If you've never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, I've come to tell you today is your day. You can get ready right now and make your reservation. I'm not staying here. I'm making my reservation for another place, and a place called heaven. Hallelujah, folks. Let's not get too comfortable or bogged down by this journey of life. And on this side of Jordan, let's take time for the honey, because we know we are not here to stay. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, starting in verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. But we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But notice what verse number 18 says. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I've come to comfort somebody today to let you know we're not staying here. The church is not staying here with all of its troubles and with all of its trials, with all of its aches and pains and physical difficulties that we face, and problems on the job and problems in the family. Amen. I've come to comfort you with these words. There's coming a day that the church is going to leave this world. There's coming a day that the word church is going to leave this world. And oh, how I want to be ready. I want to be ready when he calls the church home. I want to be ready. Take time for the honey. I know these are scriptures normally used at a wedding. I'm sorry, at a funeral service. I've come to use them this morning to comfort you. We're not here to stay. Soon and very soon, as I used to sing that old song with Sister Jean Smith and Sister Hilliard at the old First Church, soon and very soon, We are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Then it would go like this. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Oh, no more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to see. Then we used to sing the last verse like this. No more dying there. Hallelujah. We are going to see the King. Oh, no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Oh, no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon. It's going to happen soon, folks. We're going to see the King. You better be ready. Soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. I'm going to take time for the honey this morning, knowing I'm not here to stay. I'm going to leave my troubles behind. I'm going to leave those mountains behind. And so shall I ever be in the presence of the one who died for me. Thank God. Thank God. Today I'm going to take time for the honey and lay my troubles aside for a moment. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says, wherefore we are seeing about, or we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. I don't think he's talking about literally. I honestly don't think grandma's looking down from heaven right now. The dead in Christ shall rise first, is what the Bible says. Anyway, I think it is talking to us metaphorically. That we have in our mind, that we can picture it like this, as if you were in an amphitheater. And the stands are full of your cheerleaders. And they're saying, come on, you can make it. Because he references Hebrews chapter number 11, which is the hall of fame of faith. And it's like he says, if you can picture them in your mind, that they're in the grandstands and they're saying, I made it. You can make it. Come on, you got what it takes to finish this race. You've got what it takes to finish your course. Just hang on. Hang in there. It's going to be all right. But I can hear a crowd from heaven, as it were, shouting down from the grandstands above, looking down upon the saints of God that are here and saying, come on, you can make it. Come on, you've got what it takes. Come on, it's going to be all right. I thank God. I thank God for his touch and for his presence. Brother Daniel, I want you to come. As you know, Thursday was a week ago that my pastor passed away. And I will say there is a huge hole in my heart today in the passing of my pastor. And we'll be praying and fasting about who will fill that role in our life. And we've known Brother Shatwell was not in good condition since 2020, but he really started declining a couple of years ago, and then it really went into motion recently. And they didn't want a whole lot of people to know, so we've kept it to ourselves. But we got the phone call. Matter of fact, I had brought Huxley here to the church and was walking in the doors, and my wife called me and said, he just passed. Well, I didn't know who she was talking about at first, and then informed me it was Brother Shatwell that had passed. And I came on in the church and prayed a little while, and I composed myself pretty good. When we got home, I saw a video of Brother Shatwell in a memory loss facility. He'd been in the hospital for a couple of weeks prior to this. He got dismissed, but he had become combative. diagnosed with dementia. And so they told Mr. Shatwell, he said he cannot go home. So they found a facility, which was something Brother Shatwell did not want to do. But he, when they got there, he thought he was at home, so he did not know. But when they put him in the home Wednesday, I actually told my wife, I said, you know, if God's not going to heal him, I wish the Lord would just take him. Mr. Shatwell was going to be almost an hour and a half away from him. It was going to be difficult on everybody. And again, he was ready. He was ready. And so we get the call. So he was in the memory loss facility for less than 24 hours. But I heard the story of his passing. They had put up some video monitors in the room where he was staying just to keep track of him. So that morning, they had watched him for about 20 minutes. He lay in his bed. Everything was completely fine, moving around. Nothing was wrong. And then the nurses came in and got him up to take him to give him a shower and shave. They got him in the shower and set him down on that shower chair. They said, the Shatwell got a kind of a distant look in his face. He put his hand over his heart and said, well, I must go be with Jesus. And they said, oh, yes, we're all hoping to go see him one of these days. They said they turned around right after he said that. He was slumped over in the chair, and he had passed away. As sad as I am to lose my pastor and a man that has had a voice in my life for 27 years, and how much I'm going to miss that voice, the story of his passing, if there's ever a way to go, folks, that's the way to go. That's the way to go. I must go be with Jesus. Take time for the honey today, because there is a great gathering that one of these days is going to take place. Hang on just a second, Daniel. There is a great gathering that is going to happen, that is going to take place. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Would you give him praise this morning? Take time for the honey today. Take time for the honey today. Oh, there's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. I know that everybody will be happy. They will be happy over there. Oh, we will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in the trumpet song. Everybody will be happy over there. I know that everybody will be happy. They will be happy
over there. Well, we will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. We will hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. I know that everybody will be happy. They will be happy over there. Oh, we will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. There we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there. I know that everybody will be happy. They will be happy over there. Oh, we will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody, let's sing the chorus again. I know that everybody will be happy. They will be happy over there. Well, we will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy. Sing it again. I know that everybody will be happy. They will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Well, now by and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. We will tell the story of how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, now by and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. We will tell the story of how we overcome, and we'll understand it better. Come on. If you know it, sing it. And by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. We will tell the story of how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by singing again. I know it's by and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. We will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Let's give him some praise this morning. I want you to take time for the honey. This world is not our home. This world is not our home. This world is not our home. You ought to look at somebody and say, we're not staying here forever. Hallelujah. One of these days we're going to kiss our mountain goodbye. One of these days we're going to tell our troubles farewell. Hallelujah. Because he's coming back after his bride. And brothers and sisters, I plan to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of my hopes today is for somebody and people in this house who again is bogged down by life. If you'll take time for the honey this morning and realize God's on your side, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Can the church say amen? It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. I don't know this is a song, but I just feel a tune in my spirit. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's going to be all right. I got a feeling it's all going to be all right. Hallelujah. Praise God. I got a feeling it's all going to be all right. Come on, friend of mine. You need to get excited about heaven. I'm going to say it again. You ought to get excited about heaven. You need to take some time for the honey this morning and realize there's coming a day where all of my problems are going to be gone. They're going to be gone. Let's stand together all over this house if you don't mind. Hallelujah. And if you've not made that reservation this morning, if you've not made your election sure, I invite you to this place to pray. You can repent of your sins. Amen. I would love today to use this robe and this towel. Amen. By baptizing somebody in the powerful, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. It can happen today. It can happen today. Turn to somebody and say, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, it can happen right now. Come on, wait for a response too, because if they ain't been baptized, they may shock you and say, yeah, let's go. Tell them to somebody and say, you can receive the Holy Ghost today. Wait for a response, because they may say, pray for me right now. We ought to live with an expectancy. Come on, church. We ought to live with an expectancy. I expect somebody to be moved today. I expect somebody to repent today. I expect somebody to be baptized. That's why I turned the baptistry on early this morning. I expect somebody to receive the Holy Ghost today. Hallelujah. See, y'all just think I'm just going to give up. I ain't giving up. I'm not giving up. Hallelujah. Praise God. You'll never know joy like being full of the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Everything you need is in the Holy Ghost. It's by you allowing God to fill you with the baptism of His Spirit. You talking about a smile on your face, brother. You'll walk out here with the biggest smile you've ever had in your life. Think of the people you thought you couldn't love, you can love them. I'm telling you, your worst enemy, you think, I'd never love that person. You let God fill you with the Holy Ghost, you can't find them fast enough to hug them. Somebody said, well, I need that. Well, it's here right now then. What you waiting on? I ain't playing. I'm talking about right now. You can receive it. You can throw your hands up right. I'll never forget in 2020, I did a live. I'd been in prayer, I think on my front porch of my house. And in prayer, I just felt like I need to do a live video to our church and somebody can get the Holy Ghost right now. I went to that live video and I probably didn't spend 5 minutes. I just thought, folks, I'm telling you, I was praying. I know this is crazy, but I'm telling you, I felt to do a live video and tell somebody you can receive the Holy Ghost right now. Dustin Woodruff was at the gym listening to the video, and in the gym, God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need to take time for the honey. Start thinking about heaven. And if you ain't ready to go to heaven, you need to get ready right now.